Before we start the Gemara, just one nekuda related to yesterday. We saw two ways to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about a case of Eidim Zomimin who wanted to mechayev a person Elef Zuz in 30 days, and the person claims he doesn't owe for another 10 years. So the Mishnah does a formula. What is the Tashlumin of Kasha Zomim? How do you calculate it? Omdim kama adam rotzalitim viyu biyado elav zuz beinos mikan bad lamed yom beinos mikan bad esishanim. There's a certain price tag that you could place on the extra time that you have money, because having the money gives you opportunities, and that's the amount that would have to be paid. Why is that true, though? There's two ways to understand it. Let's try to really own this. Hopefully it's clear to everybody, but just to reiterate it. There's two ways to understand why this is so. Why is this the amount that the Eidim are paying? One way to think about it is that that is the hefsid that they caused. In terms of the Elef Zuz itself, they didn't cause a hefsid even to begin with, because since it's clear that he owes the money regardless, so he could have to pay in 10 years, he could pay sooner, but he owes Elef Zuz, so that's not how you would even begin to calculate the loss that they're causing, what they intended to cause. Rather, the hefsid is defined in terms of the fact that he lost the ability based on the psak din that the Beis Din rendered, based on the Eidim. So he lost the opportunity to have the money for that extra amount of time. That, therefore, is defined as the loss. That's one way to understand the Mishnah. The other way to understand the Mishnah, that's...
You need to pick up the device for a second. Sorry for the interruption.
No. Thank you. The other way to understand the Mishnah is, as the Ramban has it, that the loss is viewed to begin with as Elef Zuz, because as far as he's concerned, he doesn't owe the money yet. The Eidim are requiring to pay now or in 30 days, but come 30 days, they're making him pay what he wouldn't have otherwise had to pay. Therefore, to the extent that the Mechayev from Elef Zuz, at the point that they're saying he's Chayev, that's viewed as a hefsid of Elef Zuz. Oh, the only thing is, at the same time that they're being masked in the Elef Zuz for that point of 30 days, he also has something that they gave him back. Namely, since he would pay a certain percentage of the Elef Zuz if he were to pay it earlier, not to have to owe the money in 10 years, so that amount that he would offer when he prepays, not to have to pay down the road, gets deducted from the Elef Zuz. So therefore, you end up with the difference between Elef Zuz and what a person would pay sooner at the point that he prepays, and that difference is what they would end up owing. Now, what does that come out to, we'll both say? Obviously, make a simple calculation. How much would a person want to take off from the amount he owes when he prepays? What would be his calculation? How much it's worth for him to have the extra time, and if he's not going to have it, so he'll take that off of that the full amount. So obviously the numbers are going to be the same. Rabosai, you hear that? The numbers are the same, but we're arriving at it in a very different way. The first perspective is that the hefsid, by definition, is a loss. That is the loss. You know, the loss is not Elef Zuz. The loss is the amount of time, the extra time that he would have had the Elef Zuz. The other side is to say, this is how the Ramban and the Ritva explain it, that the loss is Elef Zuz minus what he would pay to not to have to owe the Elef Zuz at the point where it's due. Who says what in this issue? So we saw the Ramban and the Ritva learn it the second way. But the way that the Ramban brought the question, right, the ones who asked the question, see what that question was, they couldn't. They had a problem here, because how could it be that they have to pay the hefsid of the time? They call it like a grama. They'll bring a Gemara Yerushalmi. But the way that they phrase the question, as the Ramban begins to quote, he says, Ika de kashere came at the high gavra mechayv l'charve hanu alf zezud de mesadi hani mayavdile, and then they ask the kasha. And the Ramban response says, It's not a kasha at all. The hacha kim the hashta lo mechayev lekum kemad demafsedim inay alfa zuzidam. And then you start with that, and then you subtract. So you have the Ramban in terms of the maksha and then how he answers. On the other side, we thought the mashmos of the Rambam and the Tur would seem to be learning it the first way. Even more explicitly, I found that in the Piskei Riaz, that's the grandson of the Riaz, sometimes you see him brought in the back in Shilte Givorim, but there's a separate sefer, Piskei Rid and Piskei Riaz, it's the grandfather and the grandson. So the Lashon here in the Piskei Riaz is as follows. Maybe I don't have the right one. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. Okay, so it's Heidu olav shu chay v'chaveiro elav zuz amnas gitin lo mikan v'at shloshim yom v'hu lo mikan v'at eser shanim v'huzmu ein mechay v'nosam l'shalim elav zuz. You don't make them pay elav zuz shirigam humode behem that he owes the elav zuz. Ela omdim kama ademot zalitin v'ya b'yado elav zuz ben gitin mikan v'at shloshim yom ben gitin mikan v'at eser shanim v'oso haschar. So it sounds very much that's it. It's not like a cheshbon of taking away. He owes the elav zuz, he admits it. So we have, first of all, a very interesting conceptual machlokas, whether we define the loss to begin with in terms of the whole elav zuz, but then we have to subtract, or we define the loss in terms of right now that he's not having the money for the extra time. So that's an interesting machlokas to think about. Now, we were medayik in the Lashon HaMishnah when we first read it. The Lashon is mikan v'ad shloshim yom, mikan v'ad eser shanim. So the way that the Mishnah phrases the language of when a person owes money doesn't say you owe at Shoshim Yom, you owe at the due date, you owe at Eser Shanim. It's Mikan Ve'ad. When we first read the Mishnah, we took note of that. That sounds like you owe right now. And you have a window of time, what you call it, a grace period or whatever. You know, I mean, it's hard to imagine that it's grace period starting now because you expect it to pay back now, but you're not expected to pay back now. But you owe right now, and the window of time for payment is, so if you really take that very literally, that would suggest, right, that you owe, even if before the due date, you owe. And that would support not the Ramban's perspective, but the one that the ones who asked the kasha. In other words, if you say you owe in 10 years, why say you owe? And therefore, the hefsid can't be starting to be defined in terms of that you the umafsid elav zuz and then subtract. But the truth is that it doesn't have to be a stira to the Ramban. You owe, but umaisa, in other words, I don't know. The window of time is now; it starts now for payment. Could be if you don't have to pay, then that, from that perspective, it's a hefsid. They will mafsid. The elav zuz, he doesn't have to pay it. So the hefsid has to begin in terms of the fact that they'll mafsid the elav zuz. It could be, it's not a contradiction from the Lashon HaMishnah, but obviously the diuk is there. What obviously needs to be, the other thing that we mentioned, again, I don't have a teretz, but it's quite interesting to think about. L'chaira, this understanding of the Ramban would be parallel to the earlier sugya, but not according to everybody. Namely, how to understand the loss of ksuba in the earlier sugya. So we saw the question within Rashi between Rav Nassin and Rav Chisda seems to revolve around seemingly this question: is the loss of the ksuva to be viewed to begin with as really a hefset of the entire ksuva? But then the fact that he would pay a certain amount of money to her to be able not to worry about it later on, that he might have to pay later, gets subtracted. That's how Rav Nassin understood it within Rashi, the Ritva understood Rashi. And Rav Chisda would say, no, the loss is defined in terms of right now, what he would sell his share in the ksuva for. No, so then it comes out that what we say here is lining up only with Rav Nassin, not with Rav Chisda. Sarachim. And according to Tosus, even Rav Nassin was not looking at it in terms of the whole ksuva. So like, what's the difference? How does the sugyas relate? Moreover, if anything, it's a kal v'chomer, right? Because in the Gemara earlier, there was not for sure that he's going to owe down the road. And yet, we're still going to say, right? You're not going to necessarily owe down the road. And here you're for sure going to, you know, you may not have to pay down the road. And here you for sure he's going to pay. And if over here we're going to say that it's viewed as if the entire amount was part of the hefsid right now, according to the Ramban, so all the more so you should say that earlier. Because who says you're going to pay later? See, for sure should count the whole ksuba, and yet only Rav Nassin held that way, not Rav Chisda. I don't know what to say. The last nikud, and then open the floor if anyone else has just any other, you know, loose ends here. I don't have a teretz to this, but the last nikuda is the kasha from the Yerushalmi. L'maisa, what are we going to say? According to the pshat that the Yaz and the Tur and the Rush we brought in and the Rambam that seems to learn that the hefsid is that which he's not going to have the extra time with this money, that's cool that they were mafsid in that. There are many rayas that they bring that. That's not called a hefsid because it's grama. Kaga zomisham shasagzela. All the time that you took away what it is that you stole, the person could have used it and benefited and invested, and that doesn't become part of the cheshbon of the gzela. And the Yerushalmi says mefurish hamavato kiso shochavero means the purse. So you mevato someone else's purse, meaning earning power. You negated their earning power. They gave you something to invest, and you did nothing with it. And you give it back to them a year later, having done nothing. And meanwhile, this money could have brought all kinds of dividends. You owe zero. Why? What is that called? What is it called? Grum. So, chayra, that's their kasha. So how could you... And that's when your mamish did it, right? And here the Eden Zoman only paying for the virtual hezek, right? So how could it be over here that the Eden have to pay for their virtual hezek that which the person didn't have the money for this extra time? What is it different than the rule of Vato Kiso Shochavero? So there's a lot of raid in the Achronim on this question. Big topics, ribbis related to some extent also. The one thought that occurred to me, maybe as a way to wiggle out of this kasha, because it's a major kasha on this sheet in Rishonim, is to say that Edom Zom Min Shiny. In other words, it's true when it comes to Nezikin, there's a standard that we say that Grama is putter, and whatever Grama entails in all of its various manifestations. But at the end of the day, the Zoman is a unique type of Hezek. The Torah says Yuchayiv, and it's viewed as a Mazik, it's a virtual Mazik, it's one of the Chabdal of Nezikin. And obviously, in some ways, we also say that Grum applies to Edom Zomin, but not necessarily in all respects. Does it have to line up to the normal standards of Mazik? It could be that these Rishonim are going to say that when it comes to this particular rule of the Yerushalmi, Vato Kiso Shachavero, that doesn't apply to Edom Zomin. I didn't see this anywhere, but it just maybe a slur. Maybe Edom Zomin is different in this regard. Edom Zomin, even on a hefsid like this, Vato Kiso Shachavero would be chayiv, even though by standards of the Zikin it wouldn't be so. There's a lot of raid on this to try to work out. Maybe this is a little bit different than the cases in Yerushalmi. And it's, again, it's a big topic. Yeah.
You wouldn't hold like that, you know, the Ritva with...
I say, right? The Ritva. I mean, we saw earlier that the Ritva was Medayik, Kashazam Amlasos, or Kashazam Ligram. Okay, this is all Rishonim. There's no Gemara. That's the point. There's no... We want to defend Rishonim. You can't ask a Kasha one Rishon from another Rishon. There's no Gemara that says that Edom Zomin are Pater and Grama. We know Grama the Nezikin. We know Edom Zomin is one of the Mazikin. But Edom Zomin is its own unique type of Mazik, so it could be the standards are different. And it could be that here you chayiv even on equivalent of a Grama, even on a case like this. Just a thought, you know. I mean, that might be a good defense for these Rishonim. Okay, there are other ways to go. There are other ways to think about it. Maybe this is somehow better than a normal case of Vato Kiso Shachavero, for whatever the reasons we have to think about. Moshe Aaron, yeah.
In regards to the first question of why the Ritva and the Ramban are only seen looking at it from a Nassim standpoint,
yeah.
How, in our case, in this Mishnah, how would you see it from a business standpoint? It seems like there's only really one way to look at it.
Well, then you get to the kasha. Good, then they have a problem. I mean, because then it's going to be like Vato Kiso Shachavero in a chinami. But then, so then I don't know the pshat. But meanwhile, if there is no, there's no other way to learn the Mishnah but to assume that you view the hefsid fundamentally as the entire El of Zuz, then it should be obvious in the earlier Mishnah the same. That's my problem. And Rav Chisda didn't feel that was correct. So what, Rav Chizkiya is going to only view the Hefsid as the Elul is here and not earlier? Why should it be different? If you view it to begin with as a loss of the entire amount, when you're going to have to pay the full amount in 10 years, then all the more so, Kavachomer, in a case where you may not even have to pay the Ksuva down the road, because maybe she'll die first, so certainly you should view the loss right now in terms of the whole Ksuva. And Rav Chizkiya still didn't say that. I think it's a major ha'ara. I don't know. I don't know what to make. I think it's a... You can call me in the middle of the night with an answer. I tell you, I don't know pshat. I mean, the Ramban's understanding of our Mishnah, I would think it only conforms with the Nassim of before, not Rav Chizkiya. I don't know. Well, I don't know how to answer. Well,
how would Rav Chizkiya see it here differently?
So, the only thing to say is that it's the gloss of the extra time. And if that's called a grama, then shai, then have nothing for them to pay. Okay, fine. But the Mishnah says they do have to pay the difference between having the money for 30 days and 10 years. So go figure. You can't change the conceptual model because you don't have no pshat in the Mishnah. If you have pshat in the Mishnah that's against what you thought, then you must be wrong. Then Rav Chizkiya has to change his shita before too. You can't hold on to your shita of Aksuba and view the hefsid not in terms of the entire amount, and then suddenly look at this Mishnah and say, here are the losses in terms of the whole amount. If it's correct over here, then it should have been correct before too. I mean, the logic is, if anything, is more compelling in that case, that it should be viewed as the entire ksuma being the loss. Because you may not end up having to pay later at all. It's a very strong question here in the Rambam. And again, you see that this is part of the issue, because those who ask the kasha, and the Ramban has to respond to them, they assume, "Hai gavra machai v'charvei hanu alfizuzi." So, in other words, yeah, you owe anyway, so you can say the loss is the entire amount. Yeah. All right, let's start the Gemara. Okay, so this is the Mishnah. Now we're going to get into a nyanim of Shemitah's Ksafim, which is a fascinating inyan. Choshe Mishpat, and this is going to have relevance to the Mishnah, so the Gemara brings in some halachas relating to that topic. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Hamalve es chavero le'eser shanim, shvius misham tasa. Somebody extends a loan to somebody else for 10 years. And of course, that means that within the 10 years is going to be a Shemitah. Shemitah cancels debts. That's the parasha Shemitah's Ksafim. And what here we're saying that there's a chiddush to tell me that indeed this debt, which was not due until after 10 years, nevertheless, Shvius Misham Tasa. Shvius will cancel this debt as well, and he won't have to pay it. The afal gav the hashta lo karinan bay lo yigos. So, asi lidego yigos. Why is this a chiddush to tell me Shvius Misham Tasa according to the first version of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel? Why is there a chiddush here? Because after all, hashta lo karinan bay lo yigos. At the point of Shemitah, when Shemitah enters, or Shemitah ends, there's a question Rishonim, when is Shemitah Mishamet, b'tchilo or b'sof? Most Rishonim assume it's b'sof, it's at the end of Shemitah. But at the point that Shemitah would be Mishamet the Chov, so there is no potential of forcibly trying to take the Chov back, because it's not owed yet, or he doesn't have to pay yet, whoever you want to phrase it. Loigos means you can't press the person for payment. But at this point of Shemitah, there is no potential of lo yigos because he doesn't have to pay yet till 10 years, which is afterwards. So you would have thought that maybe a chov that doesn't have the lo yigos at the Shemitah point would not have the cancellation of the debt through Shemitah. And the answer is it's not so, because since there is a point where there would be a lo yigos, where you could collect on the chov when the due date arrives, so therefore, Shemitah can cancel because it has ultimately the lo yigos that will, there is a point that it would be collectible. Just to get our bearings, where are we getting with this terminology, lo yigos, what exactly is being said? We might as well already just acquaint ourselves with the psukim that we don't always pay attention to. It's in the summer months, Parshas Ve'eh, Okay, so it's always kedai to see psukim inside and know exactly what's being stated here. And shishi in re'e, it's toward the end of the parasha, always read also during Shalosh Regalim, when you have either on Shabbos or Shemini Atzeret, wasn't too long ago also, we read in Seret HaAser, right? Okay. So we had it re'e and we had it Shemini Atzeret. So it starts here, Miketz Shevashan Tasa Shemita. So that's the shayla. What that means, general Shemitah halachas, Ramban learns, or it's already introducing this new concept, this new layer of Shemitah's Ksafim, but certainly the next pasuk clearly begins to shift to Shemitah's Ksafim. V'zeh dvar HaShemitah, could be that already the pasuk before is alluding to this, but the Torah is now discussing a certain aspect of Shemitah, which is Shemitah's Ksafim. Shamot kobal mashe yado asher yasheh b're'ehu. It's interesting language in the pasuk. Anyone who has a claim, Noshe, somebody who can claim money that somebody else owes them. So he's lording over the other person, he has a monetary claim over them. So he has to abandon that claim. Shamot, kobal mashiyado shiyasha bere'ehu, that he's Noshe, that he has over that person. The language of the Targum, kogvar mare rishu di yarshe bechavre, lo yigos es re'ehu ve es achiv. The Targum, lo yisba, tviya. Where you go says to be toveya. Min chavre, you cannot claim, make a claim. So you have here within Shemitah, you could say there's a mitzvah saseh of Shamot, which also manifests itself when the supposed alova is going to come and wanting to offer payment. The malv has requirement to say, Mishamidani. No, I'm abandoning the chov. I'm not taking it. That's the Mishnah that we may get to with the Mishnah is there in Shvius. Mishamidani. There's a dvar hashmita. The Mar learns out that he actually has to tell the lov. No. Mishamidani. Shamot kobal mashiyado. Lo yigos esreihu. That's a lav. That he may not be tovea. His friend, Kikar Shmita Lashem. This is true for Jews. With Jews, it's a Nachri Tigos. You may do that. Vasha Yilacha Esachicha Tashmed Yodacha. That's an interesting phrase which also has many drushes associated with it. Vasha Yilacha Esachicha Tashmed Yodacha. Sounds like, again, it's reiterating the point, but what does it have to say it? We already stated it. So there may be a diuk here. What you have by your friend, Tashmet Yodecha, when you have to go to him to collect, so then you are to abandon that claim. Then it goes on with the other things about tzedakah, and then it comes back to another halacha relating to a person who wants not to lend because he knows that he may end up not being able to collect the chov later. You're going to think a very awful thought, a terrible thought, not to lend somebody in need because soon Shemitah is coming and therefore you're not going to lend him, and that's a bad thing to think about. These are the various relevant psukim here. We're going to have to come back and maybe look at it more carefully. But what we see right now is there's a lo yigos as part of the equation of Shemitah Ksafim. There's a lo yigos. There's an iser, lo yigos, and there's a mitzvah of shamot, and there's a pashtas, a formal cancellation. The Torah is making the chov batel, pashtas. It's a cancellation of the debt. And now we have a chiddush stated by Yehuda Amar Shmuel, namely that you might have thought that if somebody lends for an extended period beyond Shemitah, so now when Shemitah arrives, or the end of Shemitah, again, the point of Shemitah that would cancel the debt, there is no potential of being Toveya because you have no right to be Toveya yet. So you'd think that that Chov does not get abandoned, that Chov remains intact, because in order for there to be a cancellation of the debt, there has to be a lo yigos present at that time. And what's his chiddush? No. Why? Because sof asi lidei lo yigos. Let's see the Rashi. Top of Amud Beis. The af agav, the hashta, b'shvius. That's the hashta. Hashta being at the time of shvius. Lo karina be lo yigos. Sharei im bolinok so. If he wanted to be tovea him, below shvius nami eni yachol. He couldn't do so even without shvius. So shvius is only shayach, you might think, if there would otherwise have been a basis to be tovea. And then comes Shvius and says, sorry, you have to abandon the chov. So, lo amrinan, so we're not going to say, this is the chidush of the statement, lafukedah, so why don't we say, lo amrinan, keva de lo karina be lo yigo, so karina be shamot. In other words, there's a relationship between the lo yigos, the shamot, and the lo yigos. If you can have a lo yigos, then you could talk about shamot. But here, there's no basis to be tovei anyway, Shemitah. So the answer is no. But sof asu de, the answer is that it is going to become canceled. Why the sof asu de lo yigos? How are you going to read the pasuk now? Because during Shemitah, anyway, you can't collect. So what's pshat? Lo yigos kikar Shemitah Hashem. But anyway, there's no possibility of being tovea. V'hachi mishtame be'kras. So here's how we're going to have to read the pasuk. Lo yigos when? Lo yigos bismano. At the point when it's due, you have no tevia. You can't be tevia then. Esreyeu. Kikar shmita kodem lochem. So Rashi fixes the pasuk for us. In other words, according to this version of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, you can read the pasuk as lo yigos whenever it is that you think you're going to be collectible. It would be collectible, but you can't. You can't come and be tovet. So chor, what emerges the pashtus during the until you get to the 10 years, would there be a violation of lo yigos? No, the lo yigos can only be if it be based on shmita. You know, so if the person's going to come and be tovet him after shmita, year 8, year 9, shmita already passed. But there would be no lo yigos can only be if there would be otherwise a ability to be. That's what the term, but comes year 10, lo yigos then, because of the fact that Shemitah already happened. Okay. But Shemitah cancels the chov, even though at the time of Shemitah there wasn't ability to be tovea, but nevertheless, the Shemitah will cancel the chov. This is the chidush of Rav Yehuda Mashmur, according to the Lishne Kama. Masiv Rav Kahana. Frag the Gemara, Rav Kahana had a kasha on this from our Mishnah. Says in our Mishnah, Omdim, Kama Adam Motzalitain, Viyu Biyada, Viyu Elvis Biyada, Ben, Ita Mikana Adam Yomin, Ita Mikana Esheshanim. So we have to Machayiv the Eidim, a certain formula, a monetary formula that's going to have to do with how much a person would pay to have the money for 30 days versus having the money for 10 years. And that amount is what the Eidim have to pay. That's what's going to be the bottom line, what the Hefsin is going to be calculated as. But if you're telling me that a Shemitah will cancel a Chov, even a Chov of Eser Shanim, so then comes out that the Chov of Eser Shanim is set up not to have to be collected at all, because lo yigos bizmano ki kar Shemitah kodem lochein. In which case, by saying he has to pay in 30 days, you're effectively saying he has to pay Elav Zuz, whereas without your Eidus, he wouldn't have to pay the Elav Zuz because Shemitah would cancel the Chov. So then the Eidim should have to pay the entire amount. Why is it only a calculation of what we just said in the Mishnah? According to this, you should be a Chiv to pay the entire amount. That's Rav Kahana's Kasha on this version of Yudah Mashmuel. Good? According to the Mishnah, would indicate that it's not true, that Shemitah does not cancel a chov, that during Shemitah, when Shemitah sets in, the chov would not be collectible regardless. So Gemara has to answer with an ukimta. Amar Rava, hachab mayaskinan. What type of a case are we talking about in the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is only mechayev the aid in this difference of having the money for the extra time? B'malve ala mashkon, uvemosesh derosav lebeizdin. So Rava brings us two examples where there wouldn't be a halacha of Shemitah to cancel those debts. Two cases. Malva ala mashkon. A person took a mashkon for the chov, which means that the payment, there's something already to collect the payment from, the mashkon. And Moser Shterosu based, and we have to know what that means exactly. And the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Shvius, it's none, the last parak in Shvius, Amava Mashkon, Moser Shterosu based in Emashmit. So we make an ukimt in the Mishnah. The Let's just see the whole Gemara. The Gemara basically repeats itself, but just in the other direction. Ika di Amri, the other version, Amrav Yehuda Mashmuel, Hamavis Chaver Leseh Shanin, Ein Shvius Misham Tasso. According to version number 2 of Yehuda Mashmuel, the halacha is that Shvius cannot be Mishamed Achov, that Bishvius is not collectible regardless. The Afag of the Asiru Dego Yigos, even though there'll be a time that it will be collectible at the point of 10 years, Hashtamir Lo Kamim Belo Yigos. So according to this version, the halacha is that the chov remains intact. Shvius cannot touch such a chov, because at the time of Shvius, the chov is not collectible. According to this version, Rav Kana Afanana Mitanina, Rav Kana wasn't asking a kasha, but bringing a raya from the Mishnah, Omdim Kamadam Ratzalitain, Viyul Avzuz Biyado, Bein Litim Mekana Lam Yom, Bein Litim Mekana Es Hashanim. That's the formula in the Mishnah. V'iyam et Shvius Misham Tasso, according to, if you were to say not like you hold, if you were to hold otherwise, the Shvius is Misham et Kuhanami Bo Yishul Melech, then you should have to pay, they should have to pay the entire amount, because otherwise the Shvius would take the chov away. And Rava says, no, we don't have a raya. We can deflect your raya. Amar Rava, Chamay Skinan, B'mavah Lamashkin, B'mosh Yudos L'Bezin, D'tnan, B'mavah Lamashkin, B'mosh Yudos L'Bezin, Ema Shmita. So we have a way to explain the Mishnah and understand why the Edom are only paying this differential of the amount of the Hamtonas Hamos, and not the entire value of the chov, even if we would normally assume that a chov of 10 years would be canceled through Shvius. And because we have two examples that the halach is, Shvius is not Mishamet. What are the two examples? Malva ala Mashkon and Mosesh Darosa V'Lebezdin. Let's see what Rashi has to say about this. So, Malva Mashkon, Rashi doesn't even bother teaching. The words are self-explanatory, right? Malva ala Mashkon. But exactly why is Malva ala Mashkon not Mishamet? That Rashi hasn't spoken about yet. But Rashi seems to address both together. We'll see. What is Moses Derosav based in? Says Rashi, who prusbo? Sheiskin Hillel. She kasubo musvani lechem ploni uponi adayonim. Shebemokum ploni, she kolchov sheyeshri, she gvenu kozvan sheerzo. Rashi tells us that Moses Derosav based in is synonymous with prusbo. Prusbo is an institution that Hillel instituted, and it's a document that states that I am handing over to you and so and so, your dayanim, wherever you're located, that any chov that I have to claim on somebody, that I should be able to continue to collect it, because in a sense, in effect, I'm giving over the chov to you. So you are now so entrusted with my chov. This Rashi is very, very difficult for a lot of reasons, and reading our Tosis, you don't even know the full extent of it. Tosis is going to ask one kasha that l'chora, it's not the same thing as prusbo. Moshe Shlos Beisdin is just different than prusbo. But the bigger problem is, we'll soon see the sugyas in Gittin, is the din of prusbo is a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbana? How do you know? Because you feel like Mark Hillel made it. Okay, so unless Hillel just invoked the principle that exists already, the Raisa. But from a reading of a sugya in Gittin, at least the way Rashi went to sugya, it's Barur from that Gemara. We'll have to see it and saw it together, that the whole institution is Rabbanah. So what's happening over here in our Gemara? The case is, okay, so there's prusbo. Prusbo is Rabbanan. What about Malvala Mashkon? What is that? Derais. But Rashi puts them together. And let's see what Rashi says. Ein Mashmitin. That's the issue. Delo Karinan Beilo Yigos. Shere Eno Tovea Klum. The Dibra Masko of Rashi, Ein Mashmitin, is going on what? On both. The Gemara is quoting two cases and says, Ein Mashmitin. And Rashi gives you an explanation that why are these two cases Ein Mashmitin? Why is Shmita not going to cancel in these two instances? Because it's not, we don't call this Lo Yigos, you're not Toveya. Why are you not Toveya? So for each one, for a different reason. By Mashkin, because you already have the Chol Bayu in a certain way. You have the basis for collection here. So you don't need to extract payment in a new way. Be Toveya. You have already what to collect from. This is your leverage. And this is a Makom Gevia. The Mashkin represents a locus for collection. So it's not a Loligos. It's already in somehow quasi-collected. That's in terms of Mashkin. And Rashi puts them together. And what about by Moshe Shtros of the Beis, which Rashi says is plausible? Rashi says, Eino Tavei HaKlom, meaning to say, because who's collecting? Beis. So Rashi is using a drasha from the Pasuk. Right? And that sounds like that both are on the same level. So that sounds like Moshe Shtosel Beis Din is not Misham because it's not Lo Yigos. And same way as Mavol Mashkin is not Lo Yigos because you have already collection here. But then we're going to see a Gemara in Gidin that seems to say Mefurish that Prisbo is Drabanan. To say that's Drabanan, you know, for itself, no. I mean, okay, so it could be Drabanan. But the Sugyas seem to. For Rashi here, it sounds like it's a Din D'oraisa. So that's going to be a major effort to figure out how to work out Shitas Rashi. Yeah?
Is Rashi saying that Moshe Shtaros of the Beis Din is an example of a Puzzle, or that Puzzle by definition is being Moshe Shtaros?
There could be a relationship, but one could have thought that's how some Rishonim say in Gittin, the Ramban there, for example, says like this, that Puzzle is Rabbanan, Moshe Shtaros of the Beis Din is D'oraisa. But Moshe Shtaros of a Beis Din is when you actually give the Shtaros to Beis Din. Prusbo means you write a document that says, ki'ilu, like virtually, as if I'm giving you Shtaros. But you're not actually handing over the documents. So that could work, maybe only, it's like sort of like a me'ein, that which midoraisa would work. So Moshe Shtaros of could be doraisa, based on maybe the same principle, maybe some other drasha. You could say all kinds of things. You could say because it's not Lo Yigos. You could say they bring a drasha, Esachicha Tashmid Yadecha, the Lishonos of the Psukim that we read before. It could be a drasha there, but Prusbo is its own. It might be like sort of its own halacha, but maybe in some way it's parallel, perhaps, to that, to the Din D'oraisa. Rashi consistently. This is not only place. Consistently, you again to saw some of the Rashis. The Rashi always puts them together. So Tosis' problem in our Gemara is going to be that the Mishnayos sound like the two different Mishnayos. Sounds like they're different. Could be that the second Mishnah is Mefarish, the first Mishnah. But the more fundamental problem in Rashi is that the Sugya in Gidin that we'll soon see assumes, according to Rashi for sure, that it's a Din D'Rabbanan. And Rashi here and many other places uses the Drasha. It's not Lo Yigos because it's already collected by Beis Din. And that's Moshe Shtaros of the Beis Din. So how could that be on the one hand a Din D'oraisa and also be a Din D'Rabbanan? So we'll get to that. I want to first do the Tosis in order. That's going to be a challenge to figure out from this Rashi and all the other various Rashis, how do you put together, you know, on the one hand, that Prusbo is a Din D'Rabbanan from this one Sugya and Gittin, that's clearly that way. And on the other hand, Rashi always puts it together with the Inyanim that are seemingly not part of Lo Yigos. Sounds like it's a Din D'oraisa. Rashi says, this is Moshe Shtaros of a Beis Din, and it's not Lo Yigos, and here too, it's part of the same halacha like by Mavol Mashkin, which the Evachar, it's for sure D'oraisa. And Rashi puts it all together. Yeah?
Can you maybe explain one more time how you read the word Shari Eino Tovei Klum?
Yeah.
In regards to Moshe Shtaros of Beis Din?
Yeah, because I'm not collecting. They represent, they have their own, it's like they took it over. It's not my collecting. Beis Din has it now. It says, it's not Lo Yigos anymore. I surrender the Chovos to Beis Din. And by Mashkin, I'm not Tovei because I already have it. It's for two different reasons, Eino Tovei Klum. So these are the two kintas. But we'll get to all this in Rashi. First, let's deal with the top tosis. How do we hold the halacha? We have two versions of Yudah Mashmuel. Version number one, that Shvius is Meshamet, even though B'Shas Shmita it wasn't collectible yet, but it's since going to come with Lo Yigos later on. Shemitah can set in and cancel a debt that's not yet due. We have the second version that says the opposite, that it's not Meshamet. The first lashon had a kasha from the Mishnah, and the Gemara answered it up. The second version had a raya from the Mishnah, and we deflected the raya. But how should we hold? Ika diamri hamal v'chaveiro le'eser shanim ein shvius misham taso omer Rabbeinu Tam da'alocha kilishna basra. The halacha we should assume, like the second lashon, that shvius is not mishamit a chov that's not collectible during shemitah. Because after all, the Mishnah, at first glance, without making any ukimtas, the Mishnah would support that. The Mishnah, that's how it gets into our sugya. The Mishnah is saying that the Edim are only paying the amount a person would, what's worth for the person, right, the extra time to have the money. But other than that, not the entire amount. Sounds like the Chov would be collectible after 10 years. And that would be a riot to Lishta Bas and the Kasha Lishta Kama. So therefore, even though we did give a teretz, but Lamaisa Rabbeinu Tam feels that the weight of the sugya would therefore favor the Lishna Bas. Okay. But Rabbeinu Tam had a problem because of the nusach of a piyut. Ubas horos, he gia Rabbeinu Tam. Zman eser kielvenu, he had to put in v'lo b'mishpat chatzi yom av yazvenu. What is he referring to here? Just to get you familiar with this. Asharos means what? Does anyone know? What? Yeah, okay. So when you see Asharos, and you see in the Rishonim the word Asharos, and it's not part of a sugya that's dealing with Makis, you know, and Emasir Minadin, it's referring to something very specific. It's referring to piyutim that were composed for Shavuos. And these piyutim were specifically about Taryag Mitzvahs. For many, many centuries, we don't really have this so much today unless you go to maybe some hardcore Yekisha, you know, shuls, maybe they still say it. Maybe by the Sephardim also, I think they say it. You'll tell me, yeah? What? But anyway, there are many, many, many compositions that were written about Taryag Mitzvahs in poetic language, and they were meant to be recited. Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon speaks about them. He has them recited during Musaf of Shavuos. Others say it other times during Shavuos. Some say one day Shavuos and then half and then the other. It's all tracing Taryag Mitzvahs in poetic language. In fact, the Sefer Mitzvahs of Sadia Gaon, which is really a poem that Rav Yerucham Fishel Perla made 3 volumes with all his analysis, it's Taryag Mitzvahs in poem. And then everything is there to be medayik and be mefalpolin. But there were many gedolim going back to before Rashi. You know, this particular piyut that Rabbeinu Tam is referring to was Rabbi Eliyahu, we see in the Rush, Eliyahu Hazakin. That's what he called him. He was before Rashi. He was a little before Rashi. And there are famous compositions that we have of his. I forget their names. Emes Yegechiki, I think, is one of them. It starts Emes Yegechiki, I think. But many, many compositions. The Rambam in his Sefer HaMitzvahs, before the Yad, has Sefer HaMitzvahs. So there's an introduction to Sefer HaMitzvahs. He has Shirashim, as you know. Yudalit Shirashim. We had some Samarzman a few times. Rules. What counts as a mitzvah? What doesn't count as a mitzvah? 14 Shirashim, right? You know them, right? His Hagdama, he explains why he felt the need to write Sefer Mitzvahs and why he felt the need to write Shirashim to give you guidelines what should count. The reason is because the Rambam was very against a certain count that preceded him by the Bahag. The Bahag had his count of Taryag Mitzvahs and it became very, very accepted throughout Futsas Yisrael. And why do I say it's been accepted? Because they were all singing Piyutim and Shavuos that were based on Taryag of the Bahag. So the Rambam in his introduction to Sefer Mitzvahs talks about these Asharos who were so widespread, but the problem was they're very nice poems, but they're going with the wrong cheshbon of Taryag. They're going with the Bahag's cheshbon. So he gets very excited about that, and the Rambam changes what he thinks to be what should and shouldn't be included. The Rabbanan should be included, and all these guidelines, and then other compositions subsequent to the Rambam began to use the Rambam's count for Taryag when they composed Asharos. So Asharos has a long history that is fascinating to learn about. If you ever have a class in Jewish history, you can tell the professor or whoever it is to talk about Asharos and the history of it, the piyutim for Shavuos. This is not the only time in Shas that Tosfos makes reference to Asharos. It's Yuma also. There are many times that the Rishonim dealt with it and were medayik. They held in very high esteem. Rav Elezer Eliyahu HaZaken had the following words in his composition when he was talking about Shemitas Ksafim. That was one of the mitzvahs of Tayyak. So his words were, Zman Eser Ki Ovenu, V'chatsiyam Av Yazvenu. A person will lend for 10 years, so half his days he'll have to abandon it, meaning Shemitah will have come in between. It doesn't mean exactly half, whatever it is. You know, half of, at some point, he'll have to abandon the chov because of Shemitah. So don't loan something for 10 years because you'll never get it back. Rabbeinu Tam didn't feel that was correct. That only fits with Lishna Kama, that the loan is canceled. But really, we hold like the Shabbasra. Lishna Basra says that Shvius is ain't Shvius Misham Tasa. So what did Rabbeinu Tam do? He added two words. What did he add? V'lobim Mishpat. It's not true that Chasiyam Yazvan. Okay. That's the Tosis. Now, Rabbeinu Tam favored the Lishna Basra because the Mishnah supported it. There may be other considerations. What does the Rush add here? So there are other Gemaras. I'm not going to go through. There are other Rayas who bring some other Gemaras. It's interesting how the Rush begins in Siman Gimel. After quoting the Gemara, he says, "Riva posek b'chol malka malacha kalashin rishon." This interesting kolam in Tzak. If you have a Gemara that has one version, the Ika de Amri, are there guidelines at which should be given more weight in the Gemara? What's Ika de Amri? Is that fringe or is that mainstream? Ika de Amri, they're those who say. So the Riva, whenever the Riva has a situation in Gemara, there's two versions. The Riva's Netiya was to pass in Kiloshin Rishon, Shekacha Yeshonim Rov HaChachamim. Avo Yesha Omer Beloshin Zeh. Now the Riva says, Ika de Amri always means they're the dissenting voice who are the minority. So the Riva's bias is always to go like Lishna Kama. Interesting. Says the Rush, V'chein kasar Rabbeinu Eliyahu HaZaken be'azharos. Ah, now we understand where Tosfos is coming from. So did Rabbeinu Eliyahu HaZaken write in his composition for Shavuos, Zman Eser Ki Alvenu b'chatzi yom av Yazvenu. They point out in the Peruch HaRifta, this is based on Psukim. Everything is based on Psukim. Osa 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 v'lo b'mishpat b'chatzi yom av Yazvenu. Okay, so that means that Shvius is Mishamit, and that's the Lishna Kama, and that's the original version of this poem, right? B'chatzi yom av Yazvenu, that's what would happen. Rabbeinu Tam posei kiloshen achron. What about the piyut? People were saying the piyut. Rabbeinu Tam says they're saying the piyut, it's shkol kahalacha. So even though Yozakin must have, he didn't change, I mean, Yozakin said what he said because he must have held otherwise, but Rabbeinu Tam didn't want people saying piyutim, they're not consistent with what he thought the halacha was. Okay, it's one thing if you're going to count mitzvahs that don't fit the count, maybe that's a different concern, but not as big a concern. But if you're going to go according to halacha that's not really halacha, then just make a little hagah in the poem. Like the, a lot of times you find even in the Musaf of Yom Kippur, right, the Avodah, so there are certain little ha'aras that you find Chayyadim and others made, that if the Paitan somehow he felt was not fitting according to halacha or the shitas, he wanted to change something, they actually added in the piyut. So say the piyut, but just change something here and there. Rabbeinu Tam added, V'igiyah b'azharas v'lo b'mishpat b'chatzi yom av Yazvenu. That's what they're quoting from the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, because why v'lo b'mishpat? You could add a lot of words. Why v'lo b'mishpat? Because of the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, as the Pilbo points out, it says in the pasuk, "V'lo b'mishpat chatzi yom av Yazvenu." So put in "V'lo b'mishpat." The halacha is not that b'chatzi yom av Yazvenu. So he was using creative license to be able to magia so that the poem can still be said, but the halacha would be like Lishna Bas. Okay, now there's a few other rayas that we won't go through in the rush. From Baba Basra, from Perek Gimel of Gittin, but then something interesting. The Rush is Doche the Rais, Umiu Nira. So after this question, who do we hold like Krishna Kama Krishna Basra? Mio Nira Talocha Krishna Basra. Why? So first, the reason Rabbeinu Tam gave the Pashta the Masnisa Misrayeya Krishna Basra Utiyof the Krishna Kama. El the Rava Dachile. Rava was Doche. The Kasha on the Lishna Kama and the right to Lishna Basra. But Lamaisa, the pastors of the Mishnah would support the Lishna Basra, that that Shvius was not the Mishamit. The Ode, second point, adds the Rush. Why should I hold like Lishna Basra? What does Lishna Basra say? That the Chov is not abandoned. Why should we hold like Lishna Basra? The Shvius Bizman Azed Rabbanan. We hold the Shvius Bizman Azed is not only the Rabbanan. The Azlin Lekula, the Chenkasa Ramam Ramban, like Lishna Basra. So what did he say? Shvius Drabbanan, the Azlin Lekula. Question.
But it's all hypothetical. How much would one want to extend?
So,
in a sense, how is the
Gemara
side?
Yeah, we just read the Gemara. Let's just speak it out again. The Gemara, Rav Kana, is either asking a kasha or being a rai, right? So, what's the logic of Rav Kana's proof? He says the first lashon of the Gemara says Shvius cancels the debt. Says Rav Kana, how could that be? If that were true, then the din would not be what the Mishnah says. The Edom Zom should have to pay the entire 1,000. Tomorrow, how give it teretz? Okay, let's work out a case in the Mishnah that the Shvius is not Mishamit because it's a case like, unusual case. Second version, it would be a Raya, that obviously Shvius is not Mishamit. No, not a Raya, we could work out a certain case. So it's a bit of time, new. The Pashup Shat in the Mishnah, without making any Ukimtis, fancy Ukimtis to answer it, would be indicative of the second version of the Gemara, that the debt is untouched. That's why the only thing they pay is the difference between a person having money for 30 days and for 10 years. That's the Cheshbon here. So that's part of what the Rabbeinu Tam is saying, that we should follow the Lishna Basra because the weight of the Sugya, the simple... Good, we're doche the raya, we're doche the kasha, but meanwhile, the Pashup Shana Mishnah would seem to indicate that that without any special kimtis, the Mishnah would be clearly showing us that the Shvius did not affect this chov. But what's the second point that the Rush makes? Why should we accept the Lishna Basra and say that the chov is not abandoned, that the chov remains intact? Because we go with Kula. So this opens up a Pandora's box. No? Why? The Pulcha Rifter quotes the Beis Yosef. We'll look at the Beis Yosef. There's more in the Beis Yosef than was quoted here. But you see it's quoted Pulcha Rifter already here. What's the problem? Yes?
Sounds like he's so-so himself. Is it that the Mikara is really Lishna Basra, or it's Mikara Lishna Kama, and we're only going like the Basra because it's their abundance?
Whoa. What do you mean so-so himself? No, he's saying... Where's he so? First, you said halachah nebasa because the Pashup Shat in the Mishnah supports the second version. That's right. Number one. And secondly, since we don't know who the Pashup, even if in doubt, another point why we should follow the second version and say that the Chov is not abandoned. Why? Because misafik, we should say, safik akula. So Shvius is not going to take over this Chov.
It sounds like it.
Drabbanan. Shvius only Drabbanan, so we won't abandon the Chov.
Doesn't that imply from the Ode? That if Bizman Hazeh Shvius is Midoraisa, like it should be, then we
no,
would
no, have Pasnai Plush Nakama? No, he's not. He's just throwing in another svara here. In other words, number one, the Mishnah supports Lishna Basra, and moreover, again, we're talking about today anyway, and we know Shvius Bizman Hazeh Drabbanan. So Midrabbanan, if I don't know, so I say Misafik, Shvius will not be Chav.
In Shvius, only Drabbanan because we don't have the majority.
Yeah, that's the Cheshbon. Well, it's because of two things. Yovel is not no egg because we don't have Rov Yoshevel Aleha. And then Shvius is totally in Yovel, Mimela, that's why it'd be Shvius Rabban. Okay, so what are you asking? So, were it to be Doraisa, then you'd have to hang your hat on only on the point that Rabbeinu Tam makes. But the Rush can throw in something else, even if you want to be in that, you know, because after all, the Riva thought maybe we should publish the Kama because the Kadami is a fringe view. So, okay, so I don't know. Maybe Rabbi Tam is a point, maybe Riva is a point. Says the Rush, I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, you're not sure which Lashon to accept. Shvius Rabbanan, Misafek, Shvius is not going to be Meshavet. It's another variable to throw into the mix. Now, I'm not saying that they're not mutually exclusive. But it just, you know, he just has another argument. But this argument is very problematic, as the Beis Yosef asks. Why is it problematic? L'chaira, we have here a suffix with Shvius is Mishamit or not. If Shvius is Mishamit, then he doesn't, the Lova doesn't have to pay. If the Shvius is not going to tamper with his chov, then the Lova still owes the money. So if I have a suffix here, what's at stake here is money. So why you say, well, suffix, whether Shvius is Meshamet or not, so therefore Shvius is Drabanan, so therefore we go Lekula, Shvius doesn't cancel the debt. Wait a second. If it's a suffix, is Shvius should cancel the debt or not, so the Lova shouldn't have to pay me suffix, because maybe he doesn't know, maybe Shvius was Meshamet. That's the Pella here. That's the Beis Yosef's Kasha. Yeah? It's a suffix on the money. The suffix if the debt was canceled.
And therefore, how can you have the suffix as the rush puts it?
Right, the rush is focusing on suffix whether Shvius should take over here and affect the chov to cancel the debt. But since it's a suffix derabanan, whether the debt should be canceled. So how can you call that a suffix that we should say Shvius doesn't cancel the debt? I should say misafik, the person doesn't have to pay, and we have to be going on the other direction that maybe the debt is canceled with Shvius. It's a safik a halacha, understand? It's a safik a didina. We have two versions in the Gemara. A chov that is not collectible during Shemitah gets affected and canceled by Hilchos Shemitah Ksafim or not. We don't know. Two shonas in the Gemara. How should we paskin? Says the Rush, Shvius today is only Drabbanan, Safik Drabbanan Lekula, so Midrabbanan, Shvius is not Meshamet. Is that the way you do it? Safik Drabbanan Lekula, Shvius is not Meshamet? Safik Mamona, how much Nechra of Raya? Safik Mamona, Lova shouldn't have to pay. Misafik, the Shvius should be Meshamet. Safik Mamona. To Safik Mamona. So, in fact, see the Beis Yosef, there are those who talk a hold that way. He brings a Ben Yeruchim afterwards. So the Beis Yosef, the first part of Beis Yosef is quoted in the Pilcha Rifta right here, but there's more that he quotes afterwards. So we can look at it in the Beis Yosef inside. You can start along in the Pilcha Rifta. Pilcha Rifta is the Tosas Yontif, by the way, you know that. Tosas Yontif on the Shnais is the Pilcha Rifta, the Yontif Lippin Heller. So the Beis Yosef on the tour Hilchos Shemitah paskins the same as Father the Rush. He brings a machokis, right? The Rama says mishametes, that it gets canceled. That would go like we saw the Riva. That would go like the Yoel Zaken in his version of the Azharos, what he wrote it, like the Vishtakam. And the Rush, Adoni Avi Rush, cuts up she'ena mishametes. So says the Beis Yosef. He brings the Gemara that we just read, the two Goshonas in the Gemara, the Kosfo Hatosvos. I'm reading on Beis Yosef on the left. Sharbino Tam Pasek Lish the Basra. V'Rush cuts up Shariva Rabino Yo Pasku. Rabino Yo is what I just told you. And Zaken is the Balas Horus. Pasku Lish and Rishon. But who's thou so a carbino tam from the Shvius Rabbanan Azlinan Lekula? Fact the Beis Yosef, the Yim Tomar, Habesveka de Mamona, Naktinan, Kula le Nitva. When we have a suffix Mammon, then the Nitva gets the upper hand. The Nitva is the one being collected from, so he can keep his money. You can't be Motzi Mammon, be suffix. Kula le Nitva means the Nitva gets favored. By saying Safik Drabbanan Lekula, so therefore Shvius is not Meshamet, what we're doing is we are forcing him to pay, who's getting favored? The Toveya. What's at stake is Mammon. How can you favor the Toveya to be Motzi Mammon Misafik? What do you mean Misafik? Safik Drabbanon Lukula, and therefore the Chov is not cancelled. To the contrary, by doing that, you're favoring the Toveya. By Mammon, you should be favoring the Nitva. Cool the Nitva. Yeah? Both say. Question is good. Yeah? Solid. Venira Li. Here you have to know Peshat in the Beis Yosef. How much to read into these words. Venira Li. The Taimei Mishum. Here we're going to get into some of the crux of what we're dealing with in Pilchus Shemitah's Ksafim. Chum de Shemitah Isurahu. Shemitah's Ksafim here is Isur. What does he mean by Isur? Where is the Isur here? Ah, very good. Lo Yigos. Lo Yigos. In other words, there is an Isur on the part of the Malveh that he is not allowed to collect the chov. And if he comes to collect the chov and extracts payment, he violates an Isur Daraisa. So now there's an Isur on the part of the Malveh Lo Yigos. So here we say, Shemitah Isuru Umekilin. Since it's a Savig Rabbanan, is he violating an Issa here to collect the Chov after Shemitah? If it's a Chov, or again, after by the 10-year point, is he violating Issa or not? Umekilin delo tinog, that the Issa would not apply. There is no Issa of Negisa on the part of the Malveh on a 10-year Chov. Came into Rabbanan he, Bismanazeh. Unnehi de nafgamina in Mamona. Even though what results also there's nafkamina from mammon, because by not violating the isser, you'll be collecting mammon away from the muchzik. Vavi chumer l'toveya. So it comes out you're not favoring the it you're giving more weight to the toveya. You know, before he quoted chumer l'toveya, chumer, I'm not sure what to say, because chumer, the point is you're being motzi mammon. Mikomakam kivin de beikra de dina, beikra de dina, lo asi le nivai imafkin mamona mehaygavra. What's the root of our question that we're trying to figure out in this gemara? What's our shaila? Is the shaila right now that we're asking shaila of mamon or shaila visa? What are we asking here? We're asking shmitas mishanet. We want to know which lashon are we paskining like. So what is the shaila that's being presented? Are we asking the shaila and formulating the question, can you be motzi mammon? Or are we asking, can you collect the chov? Is there an issa lo yigos? So he says, ikra de dina lo asi le mivah imafkina mammon mehai gavra, el le inyan isura inoag shvias alo. Well, he doesn't even say it in terms of lo yigos. It's shvias knowing. Therefore, ko naktinon kein nirali. Now, what does the Beis Yosef mean to answer? What does he mean to say? So the question is Shvius knowing, not can you be motzi mammon? Therefore, for that we say, midrabanan, tzavit rabanan, Shvius is not knowing. Mela, you can collect the chov, Shvius is not knowing. But the ikra didina is the shal Shvius is knowing. So what does he mean to say? Good? Happy with it? As stated, or we have to add a little bit more here? How did you understand the Beis Yosef? Very vague. A lot of Achronim want to say more Torah here, that maybe the Mammon is a derivative of the Yisr. In other words, once we talk about, you're not being Motzi Mammon Misafik, because the root of the question of the Mammon is really, can you collect? There's no Lo-Yigos, and there's no problem in the Mammon, because the loan won't get canceled. So if the root of the question is that, then that can be the achra, and that, you know, it doesn't say all this in the Beis Yosef. So I'm not sure if we can have a liberty to do all that. It says, L'maisa, the ikra didina is a shayla shvias is knowing or not. So that's good enough, even though there's an afkamina for mammon, all right. But notice, he continues, this is not quoted by Pulcha Rifta, the kasav b'meisharim, this is Rabbeinu Yerucham. He quotes not the Ben Yeruchim, Talmud of the Rush. The Rif lo hevi echav ben halishonos. The Rif did not quote either version. Nira the pasak lishne kama, the shvius misham tasa. This is the Rabbi Yerucham's language. He doesn't quote either version. So what would that mean? Sounds like the default is Shvius is Meshamet, the Isser. Language, Atan Lashono. Says something doesn't sound right to my ears, says the Beis Yosef. Anik far hochachti, I already told you, the other Rabba. Iha the Isser, then what should we say? Aslinan Beilukula, Drabbanani. What must be shot in the Rif? Why would the Rif not say anything, which would be mashma that Shvius is Meshamet, like a normal case of Shemitah? There is an afkamina for money. They don't know which lesson to accept. The nitva gets favored. And then the Ramban and the Rambam hold like the Rush and the Rabbeinu Tam. But meanwhile, he gave you another side to the question. Pshat in the Rif possibly is that we do follow the mammon. So it's an interesting question. Do we follow the mammon? Do we follow the fact that the ikra d'dina is a shayla of whether shvius is noeg, and that's all that we have to start with, and shvius is not noeg, memela, he mostly the mammon. Exactly what did he mean is not 100% clear. So is it because the root of the issue of the mammon is a derivative of the psak of the isser, or is it just because we don't right away go to it, we can talk about in general, and memela, That's how we look at it, not in terms of all the nafkaminas. The way he says it now is, since there's a nafkamina for mammon, so therefore it's going to be cool in itfa. But the other way of saying, nafkamina is not the point. The topic that we're asking ourselves, the ikur, the dina, the shali is about what Shvius is knowing. More about this relationship between the isser and the mammon we're going to see now, b'negea Rashi. Let's see the next tosis. So this is the answer that was given to work out the Mishnah, that really you could argue that Shvius should be Meshamet, but in this case, there was something that was done, an arrangement that was done, that would make it that the Shvius would not cancel this Chov. So one example was Malva Lamashkin, or Moshe Shterosov LeBeisdin, Pirish HaKuntris, Dehainu Pruzbo. V'lo Nira. Why can't you say that it means prusbu, that you're writing to the Yonim, I'm giving over the Chov, to have Mesech the Shvius, Perek Yud, the last Perek of Shvius, Tani, Hamosesh the Rosav Lebezdin, Vahadurk Tani, prusbu, and a Meshamet. Alma Tre Mili Ninu. Tosis is quoting two consecutive Mishnais. The Mishnah Beis in that Perek concludes by saying Hamal ve'al hamashkin. This is what the Gemara quotes. This is the Tanan of the Gemara, right? The Tanan. The Gemara quotes this in the Gemara. Hamosesh derosav lebeisdin. Hamal ve'al mashkin v'al lebeisdin eina mashmitin. That's the quote of the Gemara. End of Mishnah Beis. The next few words Mishnah Gimel. Pruzbo eina meshamet ze echad min advarim sheiskin hilazaken kisherah shenimnu amel halvos ze ze va'oven amashakasu batorah hishamelcha peniyah davar bavacha b'liyal. That's what we quoted before. Hiskin hilu pruzbo ze gufu shel pruzbo. The next couple mishnayos deal with pruzbo. Notice, Mishnah Beis concludes with ma'aval maskin moshe shorosu beis in meshmitim, and then Mishnah Gimel pruzbo eina meshamet, and then goes on to talk about details of pruzbo. So what does Tosfos see? That not the same thing. Moshe Shtosu Beisdin is one halacha, that's Mishnah Beis, and now new halacha, Puzbe the Meshamet. No, in defense of Rashi, Kach Nira, so Tosus disagrees. Kach Nira, the Trei Milinin, Moshe Shtosu Beisdin, Midoraisa in the Meshamet. Meaning, as opposed to Puzbe, which is only the Rabbanan. Rashi would say, in terms of Rashi, Tosis Kasha, the Mishnah that says Puzbo is Mefarish, what it just said, according to Rashi. You have to say, most of us were based in Meshamtin. What is that? That's Puzbo. So for Rashi, it's the same thing. So that doesn't have to be the earth-shattering Kasha that Tosis makes it to be. But what we do have to deal with is Lamaisa, what emerges from Rashi, though, is that Pruzbo is a din d'oraisa. Because Rashi, again, Tosa says, Moshe Shterosu Lebeisim Midoraisa in the Meshamet, and Tosa says, Rashi says, Pruzbo is Moshe Shterosu Lebeisim. And Rashi quotes the Pasuk Lo Yigos, Eino Tovea Klum. That it has to be dealt with because of the Sugyas and Gittin. Let's look at some of the other Makoros here for Rashi. Where else Rashi comments on this? According to Tosfos, though, it could be a relationship. It could be most stressful based in his Midoraisa, and Prusbo is something that Rabbanan would be Ke'en Doraisa. It's not exactly being Mosesh Derosa, but what is it? It's a virtual Mosesh Derosa. That's the Rabbanan. Rashi, it's the same thing. You need to go Keseder and Gittin or Keseder from the sheet. I don't know. Let's go get a couple of the small Rashis first, just to see that Rashi didn't just say this over here. Rashi is very consistent in a lot of different places that says that Prusbu and Moshe Rosenbeis are one and the same. Rashi says, "I'm based on Beis and Gittin." When the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Masrani Lefnechem, this is the Mishnah Gimel, right? In Shmiz. Mishnah Dalit. Most Nechem is Poni, Poni Dayanim, Shemakam Poni. Rashi says, "Kaman hu bepirkin gabi prusbo shu Moshe the Rosh of Beis Din." And Rashi continues, the ilo tavalei lebalchov ela beizdin hein yordin lechasev will karina be lo yigos. Nu, deraisa drabanan. You just read another Rashi. Deraisa drabanan. What does it sound like? Deraisa, right? It's not lo yigos. Right? Straightforward. Rashi says, what is prusbo? How does it work? You give your shtaros to beizdin, and its beizdin is now collecting. Will karina lo yigos. That's Rashi Lamed Beis on the base. Lamed Vav. Amid Aleph. Again, this is the Gemara mentioning the Mishnah again. Four. But Hillel, the Perek HaShaliach talks about Takanas that go in, that were made to Kinha Olam. Tanan Hasam. Prusbo ain't a mishamet. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah Shvia, Zechem Dom Shehizkin Hila Hazakein, and so on. Zel Gufasho Prusbo, Masrani Lechem Poni Poni Dayanim. Rashi says, Masrani Lechem Estherosa Shetem Yu Nogsim Banigo Egos. Again, the point is, it's not me, it's you. This is the sugi that we have to look at carefully. How many of you saw this Gemara yet? Lam Vavim Ralf to Lam Vavim Vase? Not that. Okay, so fine. I see we have to. Okay, so it's okay. We'll go carefully. We'll see it carefully. You should realize as follows: the way that Rashi learns the sugya. See, I'll just give you the heads up. It's coming soon. It's getting late. This Gemara that starts at Amud Aleph into Amud Vav Amud Beis. So the Gemara twice has a kasha of Mi'ika Midi. You see on Amud Aleph Mi'ika Midi. The Midaraisa Mishamta Shvius Viskin Hillel Dva Mishamta. That's the Kasha. How can Hillel change something that Midaraisa will be otherwise? Midaraisa Shvius should be Mishamit. Hillel says suddenly, then you have, the Gemara continues, on Amud Beis, discussing the whole din of Shvius Midrabanan today. If your whole Shvius cancels debts Midrabanan, it means Midaraisa today, that should not be cancelled. So Gemara asks another variation of the Kasha on Amud Beis. Mi'ika midi, the Midaraisa lo misham to Shvius, v'tig rabban d'shamet. So there's two times the Gemara has a Kasha. How could it be Rabbanan are going to alter what would otherwise be Daraisa? First Kasha relates to Hillel's Takana Prusbo, that overrides Shvius, and says you could collect a chov that otherwise you wouldn't be able to collect, because Shvius would be mishamet. And now you have another kasha in the other way around. In other words, how could it be that Midaraisa nothing should change because it's no Shvius B'Deraisa today, and B'Rabbanan, Shvius is going to cancel a debt. On that second kasha, we have Abaya, we have Rava. Rava says, Hefka based in Hefka. Look carefully at the Rashi. Rava Amar, and you'll see that Rashi learns that Rava is coming to answer not just this question on Amid Beis, but the question on Amid Aleph. Okay, when you learn it carefully, you'll see what I'm referring to. Which means that we need a command to Hefka based in Hefka in order to justify Hilus Dakana Prusbel. Rabbo say that is going to chora go totally against everything we've seen in the Rashis that we've so far read, Rashi in Makis and the other Rashis in Gittin. Because what do we see in our Rashi? That how does Prusbel operate? Why does it allow you to go ahead and to collect the chov that otherwise be cancelled? Why? Because it's not you, it's Beis Din. But according to Rashi's reading of the Gemara in Lamed Vav in Gittin, you have to come onto a new device called Hefka Beis Din Hefka. So how do you square Hefka based in Hefker, according to Rashi's reading of the Sugin Gittin, with the Svara that Rashi keeps saying consistently, it's because it's not Lo Yigos, it's not you, it's Beis Din. And Rashi puts it in one sentence together with Malva Alamashkin. So that's going to have to put together. So there's a classic Mahalach that's used that we'll speak out, and maybe there's another way that we could learn that will also segue into the next Sugin. Also, we'll see about the nature of Shmitas Ksafim exactly. What does it mean that the Torah says that the Chov is to abandon it? What does it mean? What happened to the Chov exactly during Shemitah? What's the nature of Shemitah's Ksafim? We'll see exactly what that means. Okay.